above all things.
His love endures forever.
Sing praise. That's been reborn.
Love endures forever.
Sing praise. Sing praise. Sing praise. Sing praise. Forever God is faithful. Forever God is strong. Forever God is with us. Forever,
forever,
forever God is faithful. Forever God is strong. Forever God is with us. Forever,
forever.
Rising to the setting sun, flowing to us
forever.
By God's grace, we'll carry on.
Love endures forever.
Sing praise.
Angels
something holding you up, so there's nothing I can do to let you out. It doesn't take a trophy to make you proud, 'cause I'll never be more loved than I am.
You are.
Hallelujah. I hope you sang it with faith. Amen. I pray you sang it with faith. For those who don't know me real well, I am really pretty a simple kind of guy. I mean, I just discovered hair conditioner this week. I like the way it feels. I just destroyed the atmosphere. Sorry. Not hardly a week goes by that I don't find myself over a fire pit with a fire in it, gazing up at the stars. And I think about the magnificence of our Creator. I think about the greatness of His sovereignty. And I think about how awesome is His power. And I can't help but just worship and praise who He is and what He has done. And then I ponder His touch upon my life. I traveled hundreds of miles and I find favor in people I've never met before. I find His touch of healing on my body in the quietness of the night. And then a knock on my door delivers His provision when the bank account's right at the bottom. And I can't help be flooded with gratitude. I want to read you a verse. Two verses from 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 6 says, "Humble yourselves therefore under God's mighty hand, so that in due time He may exalt you. Cast all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you." Let's sing it again, and let's all do a download. Just get rid of everything. Anything that hinders, anything that stands in the way, and just let's give Him our gratitude this morning.
Thank you.
Glory, Lord. We do give you praise. We thank you, Lord, for everything you've done for us. We thank you, Lord, that we walk in your blessings. We give you honor. We give you praise, Lord, because you are the only God. There is none like you. There's nothing that even comes close to you. We love you, Lord. We trust you for everything. We give ourselves to you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Denise, you got me an announcement? Okay. Ladies Ministry. Friday night, we are having out of the box event. I'm not so sure that for 2 weeks, I want to be tens of thousands of miles away and Bonnie be out of the box. I don't know what that's going to bring. Anyway, $10 covers your meal and a gift. You will, you can sign up this morning out front as you leave. You can still sign up online, but Wednesday night is your last opportunity. Wednesday night. So, online or out in the foyer as you leave this morning. Sign up. I don't know whether it's a big box or everybody gets their individual box, but you're getting that. Hallelujah. Offering time. I look forward to offering time. I genuinely do. You know, just like we sowed seeds of praise and gratitude this morning already, we set the stage. Sunday is the first day of the week, not the last. It's the first day. And on Sundays, we set the stage for all week long. All week. You sow seeds. We sowed seeds of praise and gratitude. Now we get to sow seed for provision. Just like you put your heart into your worship, put your heart into giving. Whether you give online or you come up. You know, I was thinking this morning as I received Pastor's message that the schedule was changing just a little bit. I was asked one time when I was somewhere in a church that a pastor asked me, he said, I want you to receive the offering this morning. I said, okay. And he said, but I want you to do something different. And so for those of you who are in the house this morning, I'm going to hold one bucket up front. So it's going to be a little more cluttered than it normally is because that's the one I want you to use. But he had me receive in my hand everybody's offering and drop it in the bucket. Those who were giving through electronics put their phone right over my hand. As if that the Lord was receiving what you are giving today. So let's all stand. I'm going to pray over the offering. And I'm going to have the bucket here. And I'm going to receive your offering. And I want you to, in my hand, and I'm going to put it in the bucket that's going to be used for the kingdom. And if you want to come up with your phone, if you've already done it and want to symbolically do it, if you've already given, I know some is already in here and you want to symbolically do it, you know, this is between you and God, not you and men. Let's worship Him. Father, right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, I pray over this offering. I pray over every situation. We've given up all of our anxieties about provision already. And we look forward to the harvest that comes this week. We've been faithful with your tithe. We've been faithful with your seed. And we bring it here today in faith. You've said that without faith it is impossible to please you. So today, we give out of faith. We use our faith, the faith that you've given us. Now, God, we've declared your might, your strength. I ask you to show yourself strong in every life. In Jesus' name, amen. Bring your offering.
You're the one who never leaves.
You're the one who never leaves the one behind.
Oh, give him praise. So, this morning, the man of God for the hour is our own Pastor Bernie Hurdle, who's got a mighty message he's going to release on us. You're going to be inspired, you're going to be encouraged, and you're going to go out and do great things for Jesus. Hallelujah.
Let the church say amen. Good to see you, Josh. How many of y'all glad to be in the house today? I can't think of any place I'd rather be this morning than Carpenter Shop International Church. I love coming to this place. You know, looked out yesterday afternoon, it was snowing. It was really coming down in Edenton. I said, well, I guess we had no church today. But you know what? In my heart, my mind, I knew better. Because we don't just give up any kind of way. Because God is able. He's willing. He's the source of our strength. Our ever-present help. In the time of trouble, he'll never leave us. Somebody say, he'll never forsake us. I don't know about you, but Pastor Mike got me all messed up today. I was already tore up inside from the floor up, and he got up, and he's all emotional this morning, and I was already that way myself, but you know, because I'm just glad to be here. I think about from the time that Pastor Wallace asked me to preach today until now, it's good to exhale. Because, so some of you don't know, preaching ain't easy. Amen. When God puts something on you, it weighs heavy. It weighs heavy. I mean, it's like a weight you won't believe. But you know what? It's a good feeling weight because you know that God is in control. When he breaks you down to you're nothing inside, it's all God, not me. But it's all God. And I want to thank Carpenter Shop International for accepting my wife and I. We feel good about this place. I want to thank Pastor Wallace for the opportunity to preach today. I don't take it for granted. Thanking him for trusting me to partake in his sermon series. And for those who don't know, the sermon series is, who's your daddy? Who's your daddy? And being a daddy means a whole lot. To me, that's a supersized word because anybody can be a father, but not everybody can be a daddy. So we're going to get into it in just a few minutes, but let us pray first. Our God and our Father, which art in heaven, Lord, we are grateful and thankful for today. Your manservant stands here, O God, in this sacred place today, and Lord, I stand in need of you. I decrease that you would increase. That the Holy Spirit will have its way in me and through me. That it be all of you, none of me. That your people will become edified. And Lord, your name will be glorified. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So today I Pastor Wallace is teaching an old dog some new tricks. Y'all gonna see some PowerPoints today. Pastor Bernie ain't used to doing that. But anyway, God knows what he's doing. And Pastor Wallace knows what he's doing. So it is an honor to stand here today and partake in, I thought it was going to be back there too, but anyway, you see up there, says, who's your daddy? Let me start by saying my daddy's name is Millard Hurdle. He's gone on to be with the Lord, but that's my daddy. And when we were growing up in Belvedere, on the dusty roads of Belvedere, because when I was a little boy, it was dusty, it wasn't paved. Tight-knit community. I never called my dad Millard. The only thing I knew to call him was Daddy. Because back then, it was disrespectful to call your parents by their name. Amen. It's disrespectful to call your parents by their name. Until the day he died, he was still just daddy to me. That's my daddy. And I love my daddy. My daddy was tough on us boys and two girls, but that's my daddy. And I think Pastor Wallace has done well to have this for a sermon series, because I tell you what, young men, I'm hard on us boys. I'm hard on us because anybody can be a father. Most men can be a father unless they're medically wrong. But when you talk about that word daddy, you're saying a whole lot. I got two daughters sitting right there, and they said they're glad they weren't boys because they don't know what would have happened to them. It was this bad, they were girls. And I don't say which one it is, but one of them told the other one, don't you get tired of daddy preaching to you? When it comes to my girls, I got a whole lot of sermons packed away. And you know what? I don't mind using them, because I'm going to have to answer to God one day about those two girls there, about how they were brought up. The father going to have more blame to take than mama does, because the man is supposed to be the head of the house. Oh, yeah, that's who daddy is. Daddy is the head of the house. When daddy walks in the house, it's like E.F. Hutton. People listen. When I walk in, things change. They might not like it. They probably mad at me, but they don't. They guess what? They don't kick it either, because daddy walked in the house. That's who dad is supposed to be. Dad is supposed to be the man of the house. So today we're going to be talking about Jehovah Jireh, our provider. You know, daddies are providers, you know, so when I think of Daddy God, I think of my dad. You're going to hear a lot about my dad today, because my dad was a godly man. I'm not saying just because he's my daddy, but my dad was a godly man. And on Sunday morning, we had to go to church, and the only excuse you had to go to church on Sunday morning, you had to be knocking at death's door. Because daddy said so. Why can't I go? Because daddy said so. That's my daddy. That's my dad. You're going to hear a lot about daddy today, so go ahead and get used to it right now. Because that's the sermon series, Who's My Daddy? God in heaven is my daddy, but my earthly daddy is gone on. But my earthly father left some things behind he instilled in me that I'm to pass on to my children. Somebody say amen. If you're going to be a good daddy, you got to do some work. You got a burden on you that you don't want to bear sometimes. Because sometimes you got to give up what you want to do for your children. Somebody say, man, somebody know what I'm talking about in the house today. You might not want to own up to it. You might want to own up to it, because I know exactly what I'm talking about. Because there are many times I wanted to do for me, but I had to do for them, because that's the godly thing to do. That's the godly thing to do. So we talk today about Jehovah Jireh and him being our provider. Like I said, I'm in new territory today. So if I turn around, And look up there. Yeah, that's what I sent him. Ain't y'all proud of me? This is a very first for me. Thank you, Pastor Wallace. Jehovah Jireh is what he asked me to preach about. And sometimes I don't do well when somebody asks me to preach about something else, but you know what? This is God-inspired. Holy Spirit is working it out. Jehovah Jireh. When we hear that word Jehovah, we're talking about God, because back in the Old Testament time, the Jews thought it disrespectful to call God by name. So they always substituted something. And this whole month, you're going to be hearing about the names of God. And the name of God, Jehovah, is a Latinized word for the Hebrew meaning God. And of course, Jireh is the Lord will provide. You heard a lot of songs sang this morning about Jehovah Jireh. And when Pastor Wallace asked me to preach about Jehovah Jireh, my mind went to Genesis, the 22nd chapter. I was in Florida several years ago. I don't care anything about Florida, just so y'all know. Don't cost you anything extra. I don't care about Florida. But I've been in Florida on a couple occasions, and they were just bad experiences. We had flown out of the country one time, Pastor Mike, and we got back. We had an 8-hour layover in Miami, Florida. I said, Lord, what in the world? You know? But the good time that I had in Florida was we took a bus trip several years ago on a tour bus to Orlando, Florida. And in Orlando, Florida, we went out to that theme park place. Y'all know who I'm talking about. I didn't care nothing for it. Me and my brother-in-law flagged down a taxi cab and went back to the hotel because I didn't want to be out there. The next day, the tour bus took us out there again. This time I suffered through. Trust me, y'all stay with me. I'm on target, trust me. But when we got ready to leave Florida, Joel, I was reading a book by A.W. Tozer called The Pursuit of God. I'm going to tell you now, if you don't want to get put on your knees, get put down, don't read Tozer, because he gets deep. He'll make you feel like you don't even have a relationship with God. And when I was reading it, I said, this man must be living. The man died in 1965 or 66. But his writings are so prevalent. And during that time, I'd been reading that book, but I was the first one to get on the bus to get back to North Carolina, because I was tired of Florida. So I'm sitting there with my Bible open. I got The Pursuit of God open too, and I'm reading. And I got along that part right there where A.W. Tozer was talking about Abraham being tested. And I was reading, and when I got to the part, and Tozer said that his analysis, his commentary on Genesis, the 22nd chapter, was this, that God put Abraham to the test to see, was he going to fail? He put him to the test to see where did he fit in his life. And this is what Tozer said. Tozer said that God told Abraham, I just want you to go up there and offer up your son Isaac, your only son Isaac, as a sacrifice to see what you were going to do, to see if you were going to offer him as a sacrifice. He said, I want to be sure that I cleared your heart of your son so that I could reign there unchallenged. So that's what God wants. God is a jealous God. He wants to be number one in our hearts and our minds and our souls. And that's why Abraham had to go through this test in the 22nd chapter of Genesis. And you see what Abraham is put to the test. And it says that sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, here I am. And he replied, then God said, take your son, only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering in a mountain I will show you. So Abraham got Isaac, and can you imagine him walking up towards Mount Moriah with his son in tow? And I just believe they were having a conversation about, well, Daddy, what am I going to do when I get there? And son, don't worry about it. God got it all in control. And as they were going up to Mount Moriah, and early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey, and he took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out to the place God told him about. And on the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. I can imagine in my little finite mind, as Abraham looked off in the distance and saw Mount Moriah, that he probably began to get nervous about what was going to happen there. Can you imagine taking one of your children to offer up as a sacrifice? So as we're going along a little bit farther in this text today, and we find that, and he said that, he said to his servant, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, then we will come back to you. Abraham took the wood to the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, Father, yes, my son, Abraham replied, the fire and the wood are here. Isaac said, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Evidently, Isaac must have been getting a little nervous himself long about now. I'm being obedient to Daddy. If y'all remember in the scripture, Samuel told Saul, obedience is better than sacrifice. Well, Isaac has got a problem on his hand now. He don't see no sacrifice. He's trying to be obedient. And the hour is drawing nigh for somebody to be laid on the altar. And as he's getting ready to be laid on the altar, I'm sure his mind changes now. And Abraham said, answer to him, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went together. When they reached the place God told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Here I am, he replied. Abraham's passing the test. Are you passing the test today? That's the question we need to ask ourselves. Are we being obedient to what God would have us to do? When I think about being a good daddy, even in my old age, getting older now, my children are grown, but long as daddy got breath in his body, blood running warm in my veins, I'm still going to be daddy. They might not want to hear what I got to say sometime, but I'm still going to be daddy. And this is what Abraham's doing. He's being obedient to his father in heaven. And I'm just wondering what Isaac had to say. Then God says in the 12th verse, do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have withheld from me your son. You have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Abraham looked up in the thicket. He saw a ram caught by his horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. And we looked at the 14th verse. So Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. And to this day it is said, on the mount of the Lord, it will be provided. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven the second time and said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make you your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants would take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. Then Abraham returned to his servants, and they set off together for Beersheba. And Abraham stayed in Beersheba. In the Greek, verse 14, that key verse there, in the Greek it says, is the first place that the word Jehovah Jireh is used by Abraham, because God will provide. Abraham followed through on what God said. He was getting ready to slay his only son. And by doing that, he was being obedient to God. And as he was getting ready to slay his only begotten son, it said there was a, over in the thicket, there was a ram tied in the bush. Do you know that God always has a ram in the bush? If you would only trust and believe in him. If you would only trust and believe. And I've been praying and praying to God. I pray to God a lot. Joel, I pray to him in the morning before I leave. I get up early while it's still quiet. And I pray, spend time with God before I head out to work. I'm praying on the way to work. I'm praying at work. But I got news for you. Don't you know, the devil, no matter what you're praying or not, he's still going to try to trample on you. But I got news for you today. Keep on praying anyhow. Don't ever give up. But God is a provider. I want you to know that today. I've been through a lot in my life, and some you know about, some you don't know about. But God will provide. I'm a living witness today that God will provide. I was feeling a little anxious this week and feeling a little bit overwhelmed this week. And, you know, at one time I said, Lord, you know what? I tell you, you need to take some of this off this kid, because he can't take all this. I was like, kind of like Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, Lord, will this cup pass me by? But that was just the manly, the human part of me. But the spirit man was still holding strong. And on Wednesday afternoon, I got a text message from a person. And that text message asked me a question. So I picked the phone up, passed the mic, and I called this person. And this person was so unique in my life. And God had this person to text me at the right time, because I had been praying. God had a ram tied in the thicket. When I went to seminary, I got there just a tad bit late, day late. And I needed to catch up, Pastor Mike. But this lady offered me her notes so that I could catch up. We stayed in touch. Even after we graduated, we stayed in touch. And it hadn't been too long that she and her husband's house burned up and they had to move out, but she saw fit to text me. Ain't God good? Text me on Wednesday. I called, we had a conversation, and she began to talk about how I had blessed her. I said, well, I ain't forgot how you blessed me. And you know what? That was an encouragement at the moment in the time that I really needed it. But I stopped by today to tell you, don't give up. Please don't give up. Because even though Jehovah God is our God, and Jireh, yes, he's our provider. In the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter, 17th through the 19th, when we look at that, and figuratively speaking, it says that Isaac did receive his son back from the dead, figuratively speaking, because he went through the motion of sacrificing his son. So we look at that today, and by faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son. Even though God had said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead. And so in the manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. We need to trust God today. Even when I look at what's going on in Ukraine today, I can't help but put that in. Even when I look at that, I don't understand. And God permits his will. He allows things to happen that we don't understand. But in some way, somehow, God's going to bring good out of this. Some way, somehow, I believe it. I don't know how, but I'm trusting God. I got to keep praying. I pray as I go each and every day. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Whoever shall believe him shall not perish but have eternal life. Yes, God gave his only begotten son. It's through him that we are redeemed. But I got I'm about to close here. I'm not going to keep you all day, but Jehovah Jireh, he's my provider. So when I look at Psalms 23, I'm not going to read all those verses, but I want to talk about Psalm 23. I want to tell you something about the man David. You know, David was in trouble, out of trouble, being mischievous, doing things he had no business. But this man was a man after God's own heart. The psalmist David in the Psalms 23 is quite a unique thing, because what was happening here is that, yes, Jehovah Jireh will provide. The unique thing about Psalms 23 is that David was on the run when he wrote this song. Guess who he was running from? Running from his own son Absalom. Because guess what his son Absalom wanted to do? Absalom wanted to be the king. So he was trying to take his daddy out. So David ran from him, Pastor Mike. He put his Nikes on. Time to get out of Dodge. Time to say, peace out. I got to go because my son's going to kill me. But God said no, because this is my man David. This is my anointed one. You lay not a hand on my anointed one. So David penned these words while he was on the run. When he penned these words, he said, the Lord is my shepherd. He said, I shall not want. He making me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters, and he restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley in the shadows of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Some days I feel just like David. I you know what? I need that rod to fight off the enemy sometimes. And what the rod is the Holy Spirit. When you put on the whole armor of God, that's my rod. That's my fighting stick is the word of God. Because sometimes we want to open our minds and latch out, but it's not good for us to do that. Even when people come up against us, people curse you and call all manner names. The word of God is my rod. A few weeks ago, I had a young man that cursed me out. He cursed me hard, Pastor Mike, real hard. I looked at him. The man, the flesh, Joel wanted to say, you take this stick and hit him. But the word that God allowed me to hide in my heart, lay not a hand on him. I turned and walked away. Not for the power of the Holy Spirit, not for Jehovah Jireh living inside of me and me inside of him, I couldn't have done that. Matter of fact, it's a long time ago when I was real muscular. I would have ripped him to pieces. But thank God for the Holy Spirit. And then God's staff that I was using that day to walk with. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. When I'm feeling down and out, God leads me beside still waters. He calms my soul. He never lets me go. When I wanted to give up, he said, no, no. You got to press on. I'm in mind, the Apostle Paul said, I press toward that high mark, that high calling which is in Christ Jesus. That's my God. That's what I press for. That's who I look to. I look to the hills of which cometh my help, knowing my help come from the Lord, the maker of the heavens and the earth. And the one who said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, not in your darkest hour. Church, let me tell you something. Hold on, don't let go. That's my daddy, God, up in heaven. That's my daddy. Jehovah Jireh. Woo! Jesus, help me, Lord. I say that a lot. Some people just use it. I don't use it meaninglessly. I use it because I need him. Being a daddy requires a lot. Young men, being a daddy requires a lot. Requires a lot. Even to this day with grown daughters, it requires a lot because I'm still living and they're still living. I'm obligated. I'm obligated to be daddy. Because you know what? God is obligated to be our daddy. Because you can't change his words. He's not a God that would lie. And I love God. If I perish, I perish. It's okay. As long as I'm walking with God by my side. Let us stand. Y'all mind standing this morning? Praise team. Jehovah Jireh, my provider. You know, in this life, you know, people think life is a playground. I like what Tony Evans said this morning. No, no. Life is a battleground. We're in a battle. We're in a spiritual war right now. If you don't believe it, keep looking at TV. You can't digest for so much of that it'll make you sick to your stomach. You can't keep looking at that thing because Satan's done invaded that territory so bad we don't know who to trust. But we know to trust God. I know to trust him. You know why? Because we're here today. God allowed us to be here today. He could have taken his hands off of us and we all would have been going on. But he hadn't taken his hand off us. He allowed us to be here. And I know why he allowed us to be here. So we can continue to carry on his word. We're his legs. We're his feet here on earth. And as we walk from day to day, we walk by faith and not by sight. Proverbs 3:5-6 tells me, lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct my path. Now don't think you won't stumble and fall down, because Proverbs 24:16 said the just man falleth 7 times, but he rises up again. And I know it's God picking me up. It's him picking me up. I know that without a shadow of a doubt. I tell God sometimes I'm like a good running back in a football game. Sometimes I stumble down. Sometimes I get tripped down. Sometimes I even get pushed down. And God, you know what? Every once in a while, I'll just sit down. Because I get tired. But the Bible says even the young grow weary sometimes. But God will restore us with wings like an eagle. And we can soar to the uttermost parts of the heaven. I'm here to tell you today, Jehovah God is enough. Yes, he is. Jehovah Jireh. If you're here today, and you feel like you don't have no power to walk in this life, well, I want to introduce you to a man named God. If you're here today, you feel powerless. The altar is open today. Somebody will come down and pray with you. All you got to do is step out in faith this morning. You don't have to be ashamed. And you know what? If you feel ashamed, I'll get somebody to help me come down off this platform. I'll come meet you where you are and escort you to the front. It won't be my first time doing that. So if you're here today, feel powerless, you feel like God has forsaken you, the altar is open today. As the praise team sings today, I know. things you have for us
how
today.
How much more me watches over. Never is better. How much more than love. How much more than
God's enough today, church. He's enough. He is enough. He's more than enough. He's more than enough. Is enough. I'm going to ask Pastor Mike to come up. I'm going to hand the microphone to Pastor Mike. We're going to have some special prayer.
So the three of us will not be here next Sunday. We'll be climbing on a plane headed to Cote d'Ivoire, Lamaplu, Cote d'Ivoire, the Ivory Coast. And we're going to allow Pastor Bernie, or ask Pastor Bernie to pray over us, our protection, our clarity. We'll be ministering, we'll be working. And Roger and Joel, I didn't look back which one was where. Roger and Joel, they're going to be preaching. They're going to be laying hands on the sick. They're going to recover. We're going to see people saved. And so we want your prayers as well. So as Pastor Bernie leads us, I ask you to stretch your hands forward. And let God do what God does.
Amen. Church, if you don't mind, I'm going to ask if you all would just come gather around the altar. This gentleman going to be journeying out next Sunday, out this week. We want God's protection to go with him. You know, Moses said, how can I go up out of this place if your presence don't go with me? So I just want us to pray a special prayer over them today. Our God and our Father, which art in heaven, Lord, we come before your throne of grace this morning, just as humble as we know how. God, we come seeking after you this morning, just as a deer panteth after the waters. God, we all need to be filled with your Son, Jesus' Spirit, the living waters. Fill us till we want no more. And Lord, I ask you to look down upon Roger this morning. Look down upon Pastor Mike. Look down upon Joel today. God, you see what they're facing. And God, again, how can they go about this place if your presence don't go? So I ask that your presence will go with them, that your glory will shine ahead upon them like a bright beacon light leading the way. God, I pray this morning that you be with them every step of the way. Jehovah Jireh, God, you're more than enough. And God, I pray, God, you give them traveling mercies safely where they're going. And God, when they get where they're going, oh God, that you prepare, oh God, for them, that place of worship for them, that place of preaching for them, that praise of anointing, where the anointing fall afresh upon them. Touch them today, oh God, from the crown of their heads to the sole of their feet. God, anoint them for such a time as this. And God, while they're there, may souls be touched, lives be saved, people be healed, oh God. May your work be done, the physical work that needs to be done. Give them strength for that. And as, oh God, you be with them, give them traveling mercies safely back. And God, whereas we as your people, your church body, their church family, may we pray for them while they're there. And God, until they arrive back here safely, we ask this in your Son Jesus' precious name. Amen. And amen.
Thank you, everyone. Be blessed this week. Look for God to use you mightily. Amen.